My mother's people were all coal miners. My father's people were all steel workers. They all worked in the mills. I don't believe in miracles. I believe in Pittsburgh. We play for city and country. The city is Pittsburgh, and this is Steelers country.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Boy, it is a great sports weekend coming up this weekend, isn't it? I know it's Mother's Day, so make sure you guys, everyone's going to do something nice for Mom, but it is a great sports weekend coming up. I know the Penguins are out, and so the NHL playoffs is a bit of a sore subject, but two really good conference finals. Tampa Bay and Washington tonight, and then tomorrow, San Jose and Vegas. And Vegas, what a story. Expansion team, and they really look like the odds-on favorite to be Stanley Cup champion. So those are going to be two fun series. And then Sunday night, the NBA conference finals starting with the Celtics playing the Cavaliers. And who would have thought that this Boston Celtics team would have made it as far as they did, given the amount of injuries they had? Of course, Gordon Hayward going down in the first game of the year. Kyrie Irving going down right before the playoffs started. They've had Shane Larkin go down. Jaylen Brown's been nursing a hamstring injury. And yet, that team's still right in there in the conference finals. And Brad Stevens, what a coach. I mean, you know, I know Greg Popovich is the best coach in the NBA, but boy, Brad Stevens right behind him. So, got to enjoy these weekends because as we start getting closer to June and really into July, you know, there is these kinds of sports weekends are going away and it's going to be truly baseball season. I'm not a huge baseball guy, so got to enjoy these weekends while they still come. And by the way, if you're a soccer fan, it's the last weekend of Premier League. So I know Man City's already clinched that, but that'll happen on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. So again, one of the last good sports weekends we have coming up this weekend. Today on the podcast, I want to talk about rookie minicamp, which I know I said started yesterday. I was wrong. It starts today, so I apologize for that. But rookie minicamp starting today and going all through the weekend, so we're going to get our first chance to hear some reports about these players. Again, before you know, I want to talk about some of the undrafted free agents tonight and talk about you know what they could potentially bring to this team. I do want to caution, though, right, as we're talking about rookie minicamp and these undrafted free agents, right? We're going to get some reports out of this minicamp. And of course, with Mason Rudolph being there, I'm sure we're going to get reports on how he did. I don't want to read too much into that, right? Because as Kevin Colbert said yesterday, this is the beginning of the beginning for these guys, right? There is a long way to go before we start talking about guys being, you know, anyone on this team that's an undrafted free agent really being a gem, right, that we found a diamond in the rough type player. And there's a long way to go before we're calling anyone a bust, right? And so rookie minicamp is really going to be a time where it's just about this team really learning. Look, they've watched these guys on tape. They've watched them worked out. They've talked to them, right, try and gauge who they are on the football field, who they are off the football field, and what kind of athlete they are. But this is the first time they're really going to have a hands-on experience of coaching these guys and seeing on the field with coaching what kind of football player they are. And they can take that and build on it in the OTAs and, of course, then build on it in training camp. So don't read too much, especially with Mason Rudolph being there. I'm sure we're going to get reports about him either being, you know, spectacular or being terrible or somewhere in the middle. But don't read too much into that. But before we talk about those undrafted free agents, I do want to talk about the fact that the Steelers announced today what numbers these rookies are going to be wearing going into training camp or going into this offseason, going into rookie mini camp. I know this is a little nerdy, but I got to go through these because some of these numbers are, to me, some of these numbers are a little egregious, and let's go through them. Josh Frazier, the seventh round pick, nose tackle, gets number 69. That's the same number he wore in college. It earned him the nickname Sex Machine, so nice job, Josh. 69 for Josh Frazier. Marcus Allen, the safety out of Penn State, I believe he wore 2 in college. He gets number 27. So actually a pretty decent number for him. That's a former number for J.J. Wilcox. Jalen Samuels, the running back out of NC State. My favorite player in the draft. Very versatile guy. You would figure he'd get a low 20s number type thing, being you know, the kind of player that he is. No, he got 38. 38, a fullback number. That's got to change before the regular season. Got to. I know all the 20s are taken, and they won't be taken by the time the regular season starts. So if Jalen Samuels makes the roster, you got to figure 38 will not be his number. But boy, that's a rough one. Chucks Okorafor, our third-round pick, the tackle out of Western Michigan. He got number 76, which that's a great number, actually, for a left tackle. Fantastic number, 76. Mason Rudolph, quarterback out of Oklahoma State. Of course, so much has been made about him. He wore number 2 in college. That's really a kicker number in the NFL, right? So he's going to keep number 2 in the NFL. Not a bad number. Not a lot of quarterbacks that are number 2 in the NFL. In fact, I'm trying to think of any. I know Brian St. Pierre, the former third-string quarterback for this team, wore number 2. I'm trying to think if there are any quarterbacks in the NFL right now that wear number 2. I don't know. I mean, look, if you wanted to switch, right, the obvious one would be 12, but the Steelers don't give out 12, right? There's just that list of numbers that this team just will not give out, whether it's 12 or 36 or 75 or what are some of the other ones? 32, right? 86, 43, right? All of the Steelers' classic numbers now, you know, they just don't give those out. So Mason Rudolph, number 2. James Washington was an interesting one because he wore 28 in college, and you can't wear 28 as a wide receiver in the NFL. Wide receivers in the NFL have to wear between 10 and 19 or 80 and 89. So James Washington, you would have thought he would have gone with 18, but that number was taken by Justin Thomas, the practice squad player from a year ago. So James Washington electing to go with 13, which, I mean, you know, 13, not a great number. Unlucky 13 in a lot of ways, especially if you're a Steelers player. Remember, Jacoby Jones was 13 a couple years ago when the Steelers brought him in to replace Antonio Brown as a punt kick return guy, and that went horribly, horribly wrong. And then before him, it was Dree Archer who wore 13. So not a terrific number for James Washington. Maybe it changes before, but I mean, 13, I guess that could stick with James Washington. And then to me, the one that's most egregious of all, first round pick. And this one gets a little, I'm going to get a little inside baseball here, because rookie jerseys do sell, right? The Steelers sell the rookie jersey on their SteelersShop.com website. In fact, in full transparency here, I bought TJ Watt's jersey a year ago. I bought Artie Burns' jersey the year before that. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm batting 500 on rookie jerseys. But so this number probably isn't going to change, or at least if it is going to change, you're going to have people buying jerseys that have the wrong number, right? Terrell Edmonds given number 34. Now, he wore 22 in college, and you would have figured he would have gotten a 20 number. But again, as I said, all the 20s were taken outside of 27, Marcus Allen getting 27. So maybe he's holding out hope that he gets 22 down the road, because Stephen Ridley right now has 22. But as I talked about with Cam Sutton, right, 34 is not a good number for the secondary. Rashard Mendenhall wore it as a running back number. It's a decent running back number. It's not a second. To me, it's just not. It's not a number for the secondary. And I really hope. I know numbers don't matter, but I really hope Terrell Edmonds gets to change his number before the regular season. And if you're a Steeler fan listening and you're thinking about buying Terrell Edmonds' jersey, I would say hold off until this team changes numbers or they start announcing cuts, because I think some of these numbers are definitely going to be changing. I think if you were going to buy a jersey right now of one of the rookies, Mason Rudolph is probably your best bet, because I don't think he's changing off of 2. I think 2 is the perfect number for him. And then let's talk about these undrafted free agents. Actually, let's start with their numbers, right? Let's start. The three guys I want to talk about are Matthew Thomas out of Florida State, who we've touched on in this podcast a little bit. He's an inside linebacker. Quadri Henderson from Pittsburgh, a wide receiver. He's also a kick and punt return guy. And then Olasunkanmi. I'm just going to call him Ola. Ola Adini from Toledo, an edge rusher. Matthew Thomas given 46. I got to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of linebackers wearing in the 40s. Not to me. Steeler linebackers are in the 50s or in the 90s. Just, you know, throwing it out there. So Matthew, I know there aren't a ton of 50s numbers left, so maybe you change it before the regular season starts, but I'm not a huge fan of 46, got to be honest. Adini actually got number 92. So, boy, James Harrison has been retired for about a week and a half, and 92 already being given out to Adini. Who knows if he keeps that? Again, that's one of those things where Are they going to continue to give out 92? Are they not? Sometimes what they'll do is they'll give out one of those numbers that's, you know, the reserve numbers. Remember, the Steelers don't actually retire any of these numbers. So it's not like 75 is retired or 12 is retired or 36 is retired. They just don't give those numbers out. Sometimes they will give them out during preseason or during this 90-man roster process because, again, you have 90 guys on your roster. But then they'll have that player switch by the time the regular season starts. Potentially, Adini fits that bill. I don't know if 92 goes into the reserved numbers or not. You know, wide receiver, right? They give out 82 and they give out 88. So Stallworth and Swan's numbers given out all the time. And then Quadri Henderson, the wide receiver kick returner given number 10, which, you know, that has some recent history, right? Martavis Bryant wore number 10. Santonio Holmes, the Super Bowl MVP, Santonio Holmes. That's how you be great, Santonio Holmes wore number 10. And before him, my favorite Steeler of all time. And people thought I was joking about this on Twitter today when I said, Cordell Stewart is my favorite player of all time. He wore number 10 as well. So a little bit of history with number 10 there. But Quadri Henderson, I like 10. 10 is a great wide receiver number, by the way. Quadri Henderson won the lottery on numbers here. 10 being, I think, the best number here. And then, you know, we're just breaking down these players and kind of what they're going to bring to the table. The reason why I selected these three players as the players that I'm most interested in as undrafted free agents, it's because they fit in on this roster in places where there is real need for someone to step up, right? And we've talked about this before. Inside linebacker, edge rusher, wide receiver. We'll start with Quadri Henderson at wide receiver because this is an interesting range for him. You know, punt return, kick return, special teams is a way for him to easily make the roster, right? Regardless of how good a wide receiver he is, if he's a good punt returner, if he's a good kick returner, he's going to make himself invaluable to this team. And on a team that doesn't have five or six receivers already, you know, that are guaranteed to make this roster. In fact, if you look through the depth chart right now, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington figure to be the three starter wide receivers that we're going to go with. Darius Heyward-Bey, very likely to make the team as a special teamer. He's a very good gunner on special teams, so very likely that he will make the roster. Justin Hunter behind him. You wonder about, you know, is he going to be the fourth wide receiver as far as, you know, in offensive sets, potentially. Justin Thomas and Marcus Tucker are two practice squad players from a year ago who, you know, they showed some flashes and they could make a leap. They will both, by the way, be at rookie minicamp this weekend as well. There are some first-year guys who are not rookies who are going to be at this, as well, and they qualified. So Justin Thomas, Marcus Tucker will be at rookie minicamp this weekend. But those are two guys who I think, again, could push for roster spots. And of course, you know, the elephant in the room there is Eli Rogers and whether or not he'll be healthy. But if you look down that spot, right, you know, yes, Antonio Brown, of course, Juju, of course, James Washington, of course, right? But then from there, I mean, I think Heyward-Bey probably makes it. Now you got four, and you've got room for two. So if it's, you know, if it's Eli Rogers as your fourth, right, well, then he really fits in as your fourth receiver, and now you can have two guys behind him that can be kind of specialty guys or special teams guys. So with Darius Heyward-Bey, very good on special teams, might even be the special teams captain this year. And then if you had someone like Quadri Henderson who could come in and return punts or return kicks. Remember, Juju at the end of last year was a good kick returner. They may want to have him do that again. James Washington, they've talked about potentially having him do punt return, although that would be strange to me. But Quadri Henderson comes in as a guy who did this in college. So I think he could easily make the roster here as a fifth or sixth wide receiver. Adini, look, Adini is a guy from Toledo that had 8.5 sacks, second team All-MAC, right? So, look, he doesn't have a huge pedigree, right? I don't think this guy's going to come in and be the next James Harrison. But he doesn't have a lot of competition at edge rusher, right? You know, and we've talked about this. You've got Watt and Dupree up top, Chickalo behind him. Then you've got Keon Adams in that fourth spot. And behind him, it's, you know, whether it's Adini, whether it's Farrington, Higuain, who was on the roster last year, on the training camp roster, you know, maybe they go in and sign Arthur Motes, but certainly Adini is going to be a guy who's going to get real opportunity at edge rusher just because of the lack of depth that they have. And he has, you know, look, he was a productive edge rusher at Toledo. And then finally, Matthew Thomas. And this is the guy who, you know, he has the most pedigree of any of these undrafted free agents we brought in, right? I think NFL.com had him rated as like the fourth best undrafted inside linebacker. He comes from Florida State, ran really well at the combine. In fact, he has a great athletic profile. 4.5 in the 40, good broad jump, good vertical jump, a very good size. So he comes in with a lot of the things that the Steelers look for in these, you know, in defensive positions, right? Certainly the kind of athlete that the Steelers will look for. But the problem for Thomas is going to be that he had some injury problems at Florida State, and he never lived up to, you know, to this athletic profile that we've talked about, right? He was never an impact player there. You know, in fact, he was quite the opposite, right? A very disappointing player at Florida State. And so, you know, he's got a lot of growing up to do, a lot of work to do to become the kind of player that he probably should have been given the physical tools that he has. But, you know, he's at an inside linebacker spot where there isn't a ton of depth on this team. So could he make this roster over Fort? Could he make this roster over Matakevich? I certainly think he could. And again, this is a position where if the Steelers have someone like a Matthew Thomas who's pushing Chickalo, who's pushing Fort, the more competition we have at these positions, the better they're going to be. And I don't mean that from I want better players than Chickalo and I want better players than Matakevich, right? I want Chickalo to feel like he's being pushed so that he's working a little bit harder. I want Matakevich feeling like he's being pushed so he's working a little harder, right? That kind of competition is something that Tomlin has emphasized for many, many training camps now. And this feels like the first time we're really going into a season where there are just so many positions where you really don't feel like there's an out-and-out competition for a lot of spots. It does feel like there are the starters, and then there are the backups, and then there is, like, everybody else, right? And there is too many times on this roster where, you know, kind of the floor kind of comes out on you. So I think all three of these guys that we talked about, Thomas, Henderson, Adini, have real chances to compete at those spots, being that, you know, they're not deep spots on the roster. And as I talked about, there are other guys that are coming in from a year ago that were on the training camp roster. Lavon Hooks on the defensive line. Farrington Higuain at edge rusher, who's another guy who could compete there. Jake McGee at tight end. Again, tight end's a position where we talked about Xavier Grimble. I don't know that he's a guaranteed lock for that third tight end spot. In fact, a lot of people thought Jake McGee would make the roster a year ago. So, you know, he's back now. He'll be at rookie minicamp this weekend, and we'll see how he does. And then, of course, as I talked about, Justin Thomas, Marcus Tucker, the bottom half of that wide receiver spot is wide open right now until we find out what's happening with Eli Rogers. So those guys are really going to have a chance to shine, and this is just going to go from rookie minicamp now into OTAs. So pretty exciting. Again, as I said, don't read into too much. If we start hearing reports about, you know, Mason Rudolph playing poorly, playing well, Edmonds playing well, you know, any of that stuff, again, I wouldn't read too much into it. It is just rookie minicamp. It is the beginning of these guys. So that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. Enjoy this sports weekend. Again, as I said, this is one of the last ones. So you got hockey, you got basketball, you got soccer if you're into that, and I'll be back Monday for more Locked On Steelers.